breath right into your heart center, and as it comes in and hits your heart, I want you to allow it to turn to gold light. So bring that breath in, see it turn to gold light, and blow it right back out again. Take the next breath in, bringing it in, seeing it turn to gold light, and blowing it back out again. And this time when you take that breath in and you turn it to gold light, I want you to split it and blow some of it up through your crown chakra and the rest of it down through your chakra pillars, down through your legs, and into the soles of your feet and out into Mother Earth. Good. And now we're going to take one more breath in, bringing it in, turning it to gold light, blowing it up through the crown, down through the chakra pillars, right down through your legs, down into the soles of your feet. And go ahead and do one more breath for me, taking in a nice breath again, turning it into gold, and then blowing that up into your crown and down through your chakra pillars. And just allow yourself to be in this presence, allowing yourself to hold the intention in this moment to receive. And we anchor that through the words, I am an excellent receiver. And just hold that intention. I am an excellent receiver. And now you are transmitting that and streaming that through your entire body, allowing your universe within to hear you as an excellent receiver. And now I'd like to invite you all back into the room again, so you may come back and open your eyes. Were you all able to feel that? If you come down into your heart, you'll feel yourself drop right into the rest of your body, okay? And if you're not feeling that, keep practicing that, because that is the best way to get in touch with your body, okay? Now, one of the things that keeps us separate from having abundance in all areas of our life is our ego. And the reason for that is the ego is meant to keep us separate from ourselves and separate from all things as we have come here to experience ourselves as souls in this human form, having this experience, learning about all of these aspects of life, right? So if you think of it from the perspective that in order for us to communicate with our higher realms, our divine team, we need to ask our ego to go stand in the corner, have a cookie, and be mindful while we are trying to do our work. And the hardest thing about that is that the ego is present in all we do. And mostly present when we have our eyes open. And how often do we have our eyes open? Almost all day long, right? So I invite you again to close your eyes for a few minutes. And as we close our eyes, I want you to bring your consciousness back down into your heart center. Let yourself feel that as you come down and you drop down. You will feel it. It will light up in your body. It might feel tingly. It might just feel like a thud coming down. However you're experiencing it, there will be a shift. And now I want you to take in these words. I am an excellent receiver. And I want you to just feel that. And I want you to see how that feels as your truth in this moment. And now I want you to take in these words and see how they feel in your body. Abundance is not for me. Now let's go back to the other. I am an excellent receiver. And again, feel that with your body. Abundance is not for me. And now I everybody, open your eyes. Did you feel that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we're going to do that exercise with our eyes open. I am an excellent receiver. And you're like, mm-hmm. Okay. Abundance is not for me. And I see some of your energy going, yes, that's been my truth, that abundance is not for me. I could take that in easier than I could take in that I am an excellent receiver. So let's go back to family, and let's talk about this from a different perspective. When we align ourselves to another's truth about our existence, right? We have two choices, to take that in as our new truth or to reject that as our truth. And if you're taking something in from a young age, do you think you have much of an awareness of that being your truth? No, you don't, right? Because you're believing whatever you're being told by someone who's older than you, because what is the truth there? That we need to respect our elders, right? So if you think about what you might have heard from your family, from your generations in your family, you might know that money doesn't grow on trees. And, you know, what do you think? We're made of money? You know, we're not that kind of family. We don't have that kind of luck. How about those words? We don't have that kind of luck. We don't have that kind of good fortune. You want money? Go play the lotto. Take your chances, right? Well, that whole generational thing is based on loyalty, right? How many of you heard things from your family and challenged those things freely and openly? Yeah. And so if you do that, it's because your awareness has become so much greater, because you are experiencing yourself in a different way now. But when you were younger, you might not. And there's still some of us that might not, because there is a fear there, because there is such a loyalty with family as being right, right? We look to them for direction. And this goes through many other aspects as well. You know, bloodline is another one. Past lives is another one. If you've had a past life where maybe you were incredibly abundant, but a perpetrator, right? Instead of being the victim, you were the abuser. And so you used money in a powerful and manipulative way. And when you reincarnated into this lifetime as your experience, you still hold that fractal of that soul as your expression in this lifetime. And so you might, on a subconscious, unconscious level, a soul level, because that higher self aspect is out there hanging around. And every time you think about having money, it comes down and says, no, we can't do that. Remember? We had money and we were bad. We weren't good. We can't do that. And so if there's any fear towards having money, it could be due to a situation like that, right? It could be due to, like I said, the generational, the bloodline. It's in your lineage. It's a lineage thing, right? I come from a lineage where my grandfather was a baron, and you know they had their land taken over in Hungary by the Russians during the war, and my father never forgot that, and so it was the generation prior to that also had a significant impact. So it seemed like it was just, you know, every time they got money, they lost it. They lost their estate. They lost everything. And my father was sent to America at like 19 years old to come here and live. So his perspective was that, you know, money comes in, but it's taken away. So why bother? Why bother having it? Right? And that was his his focus. He didn't want to work because, you know, he wasn't interested in making money because he was just gonna have it taken away anyway. And every time we asked him for money, he was like, he'd open his wallet and go, "This is it. I have $5. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know. So this is the generational stuff, right? So we're handed those words. We're handed that which has an impact on us. And words hold frequency, right? Words are like money. They're an energetic exchange. Money is an energetic exchange. Words are an energetic exchange. Yes? Does everybody see that? Mm-hmm. So if your family is saying to you, "Do you think money grows on trees? I don't have $5 for you," then that's going to be your perspective of money, and you are going to do what? Take that in energetically and then add it to the rest of the information that you hold on to, which then becomes the internal family tree. Right? Because you have everybody else's information that you are anchoring into your personal energetic vibration. Yes? Does everybody see that?
Like, for me, like, I'm realizing, like, having this discussion that, like, so much of, like, whenever I would bring up, like, emotional, like, problems or issues that I had with my mom is very much, everything with her is money. Everything. It's just, it all depends on it. And then when you talk about, like, okay, well, we need to discuss, you know, how you made me feel or so on and so forth. Well, how can you say that when I provided X, Y, and Z for you?
Mm-hmm.
She always brings it back to money. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm so glad you brought that point up because that's actually a mirroring effect, okay? And I can see both physically on you and energetically how hurtful that feels to you when she does that, right? But we're going to do an exercise in a few minutes and we're going to take that away, okay? And this is an exercise that you can take and do this until you clear that energy, that distortion, that lack that's operating from within. And then you'll have more room because less distortions we have more room to anchor light, right? Which raises our vibration. So in this particular case, your mom feels that from her lifetime, from her family, because it's probably what she heard from them, right? That's generational. That's what I was saying before. That's the distortion of lack playing out. So your mom probably heard it from her parents, and they heard it from their parents, and now it's being handed down to you like the torch of distorted information, right? Here, Brittany, take my words. My words are this. And you, because you want to be the good daughter, take the torch of distortion, right? Let's call it that. That sounds good, right?
Sometimes.
The torch of distortion, but even if you fight it, you're still anchoring it in. I just want to make that clear, okay? So you're taking the torch of distortion, and you're anchoring that into your energetic vibration, right? You don't want it. Who wants that? Nobody wants that, right? But what happens is that as Brittany, the ego goes, "Well, screw you, Mom. We're not, you know, I'm not going to take that in, or I don't believe that, or I don't buy that, or blah, blah, blah," right? On a subconscious, unconscious level, your body's already calculating all of that into its energetic capacity, right? And it's calculating where it's going to store that. What's the feeling and the emotion going to be, right? That's all root chakra related, okay? And when we have situations like that, we also have the distortion of guilt. It's a whole loyalty thing, right? Obedience, obeying what your mom feels or thinks. It goes back to the distortion that plays out in our childhood that we need to respect our elders because they're always right, okay? So this program within you that is conflicting now, right, which goes into a whole nother direction that we could take into another universe of emotional distortions playing out in everything you do, maybe shopping to relieve the root chakra because the root chakra is addictions, okay? So what do we need to do? Go out and soothe the root chakra. The root chakra is addictions. The root chakra holds those distortions, survival, safety, fight or flight. being secure in our world, being secure in our environment, right? It's what we want, the things that we deem necessary for ourselves, right? So when we're told we can't have that, how does it make us feel? Sad and hurt that we can't, because that's what we're told, right? And then that loyalty factor kicks in, because there's that, then here is where duality plays, right? The one side of you doesn't want to go against what your mom says, because after all, she's my mom and I do love her and that's my dad and she birthed me, and it's a whole other dynamic working out here, right? But on the other hand, let me give you a different perspective to look at, right? So prior to your incarnation, your soul, along with your divine team, blueprinted this lifetime. And you said, I'm going to come back as Brittany, and I'm going to come back needing to understand money and lack consciousness and really judging up my survival skills and feeling like I deserve a really, really excellent life, right? And you said, so I need somebody to play the bad mom. Yeah, we've been in lifetimes together, so you'll feel comfortable, right? I'm going to hate you, but I'm going to love you at the same time, because we've been in many lifetimes together, okay? So you play the bad mom, and then I need a dad, and then I need other participants that are going to be random passerby that are going to give me the distortion of lack, okay? Because I need to learn about myself through holding lack and having distortions in my root chakra, which then affects the sacral chakra, and the sacral chakra is how we feel about ourselves, right? That's really what it holds. And then the solar plexus is how we perceive other people seeing us, okay? So as you're going about the game of life, according to your blueprint, we have one timeline right in front of us, right? And this timeline is all blueprinted out. The steps are already laid out. The life path is already laid out. It's how you engage in it, right? So Brittany gets behind the wheel of her car. She starts out on the path of life, on this blueprint, on this timeline that has everything you need. All you have to do is stay on the timeline, right? But then the ego comes in as Brittany's driving the car and goes, go that direction. I don't want to. I want to stay. No. Go that direction. That direction is going to take you in a better place. And then what happens? You go in that direction, you crash your car, and then you have some other problems, and finances go out the window, and then you have more problems. And it takes longer. It's kind of the bumpy road to get back on your path of your timeline. You go, I'm here. Things in life starting to feel easy again. They're starting to flow for me again, and it feels like life is good again to a certain degree. I might not have all the money that I want, but life is easy again. And then the ego gets in charge again, and then it taps you and goes, go over there. And you're like, I don't want to go over there. No, I'm telling you, go over there. And you're so certain, remember that word, certain, that that's the way to go, that you go and you take another detour, right? So all of these detours that we take are additional lessons that we can learn through life. And so the universe says yes. So what happens is, as we are moving along on this timeline, how we're navigating this and how we're playing out and interacting with all of these situations depends on how we're going to get there in the end, right? And all of these people, if you guys think of it this way, you, Brittany, transacted this play, right, that you're having, this experience on the earth plane. And so you're standing on the stage. Everybody close your eyes. Let's do this with the eyes closed, because you won't be in your egos listening to this. So we'll have our eyes closed. So I want you to all visualize that you're standing on your stage and you have your Rasta with your play written out for the life of you, right? And you have your play in front of you, and it says this part to be played by, this part to be played by. So you call those characters up. They're going to be the main characters. And then, because we're all women here, you decide that you need somebody in your life as a significant other, and one person steps up and takes number one and then number two. And, okay, so if you don't get the lesson with significant other number two, there's going to be a significant other number three. And then until you get that lesson, maybe it's a lesson of self-love, and you're going to keep meeting narcissists. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 243, they're all narcissists until you finally get the lesson. But you're on the stage, and the stage is your stage, and you're setting it. And everybody that's in your reality that now has a part in your play is showing up to mirror to you where you are holding lack, where your perception is the perception of judgment of yourself in every area of your life. And these people are showing up as a mirror, reflecting to you where you need to heal that distortion. I want you to take a minute now with your eyes closed and think about the people in your life and pick one person that you're having the hardest time with. And look at that person and see what that lesson is. There may be some judgment where you're holding judgment of yourself, so nothing you do for them is good enough. There may be lack in the way of financial abundance where you just can't seem to hold on to money and they make you feel that way. It may be at your job where you're made to feel like you're just not doing it good enough or not doing it right. And now I want you to drop your consciousness right down into your heart again. Come down, push that H button, go right down into your heart center. And as you're in your heart center, I want you to perceive yourself as holding the torch of distortion. Holding that torch that is every distorted reality that has been thrown at you, verbally or unspoken, in whatever way it's come at you, through a parent, a family member, a friend, a significant other. And I want you to see those individuals. And even if you can't see all of them right now, just pick out a few. Pick out one, if you can only pick out one. And I want you to imagine that you are holding that torch of distortion. And as you are holding that torch of distortion, I want you to imagine giving that torch back to them. Handing that torch back to them, thanking them, but letting them know you no longer need to have that distorted perception of yourself, because they've done a great job as the hired actor for your blueprinted play in this lifetime, and you understand the soul contract that you contracted with them in this moment to have that experience, which has brought you into this now moment. And I want you to just see yourself handing that torch back to them. And as you give that torch back and your hands are free, I want you to then gather up all of the etheric cord attachments, whether they're in your solar plexus, your sacral chakra, your heart, your root chakra, doesn't matter, but gather them all up as if there's a whole bunch of cords there in front of you, and just imagine you collect them all up in your left hand. And with the sword of justice and self-love, I want you to take that sword in your right hand, and I want you to use that sword and cut those cords, letting go and separating yourself from those distortions that are playing out. And take a nice breath in through your heart center, and let that breath and those cords go, allowing yourself to be released from those distortions, coming back into wholeness, perceiving yourself as love incarnate in this moment, anchoring in a new awareness of self-love. And take another breath in and blow that breath out. And when you're ready, you can come back into the room. Did everybody feel that? Okay. You need to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
You're a little closed still.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to really work on this.
Okay.
All right. This is so powerful. Does that make sense to you? This here and now, this is our here and now. We came in outlining exactly what we're going to experience in this lifetime. None of this is a mistake, right? This is all blueprinted and written by you. Each one of you. And it's in this moment that you are turning on the light codes that are hanging out in your aura that are being activated through this transmission that you're receiving today. And in receiving this transmission and activating these light codes, now your higher self, higher selves, yes, because we have a bazillion of them. I'm always corrected by myself. We have a bazillion of them, right? They can now be activated, so your higher self knows what to do with them, knows how to integrate them. And this will take place throughout the course of the next few days. You may feel extremely sleepy after this and want to drink plenty of water. But the most important thing to remember is that this is all about you, right? So going back to anchoring in abundance. I had my shift when my reality was that I was not able to leave my relationship. I was divorced and felt stuck, right? For 5 years, I felt stuck in this relationship. We filed for divorce in 2013, but the universe said, you need to work on yourself more, so we're leaving you there for 5 years. And my divorce got closed in the courts, and I didn't know because my lawyer kind of forgot about me, and yeah, it's a whole big thing. But you know, sometimes it's not always on our time when we're supposed to open to something, because it means we need to do more work to get there, right? And I'm supposed to be a teacher, and so how good of a teacher would I be if I didn't experience some of this as my distorted reality so that I could share it with you? Because I'm talking to you from my experience. I'm not talking to you from a book I read. This is my experience, right? So it wasn't until October that my ex was getting ready. Now, we lived in separate bedrooms and, you know, really didn't interact with each other much at all. And he was getting more and more sick. And, you know, he already had an alcohol problem. And so he was getting more and more sick, a lot of lung complications, which for me is all grief-related, right? Grief. Fear, a whole bunch of things.
Sadness,
yeah, it's all relative, right? And so it was getting progressively worse, and I was finding myself frustrated because I need a clear environment to be able to create with my universe. And so at the point of the beginning of October, I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I kept hearing my universe going, oh yeah, you sure? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, no. And they're like, yeah, that's not what we feel. And I was like, no, really, like, I'm ready to go. And they're like, well, then just say so. And I'm like, what? Well, just say so. And I'm like, well, I'm telling you. No, you're not. Yeah, I am. No, you're not. Okay. Okay, I want to go. No. Okay, no, really, really, I want to go. Like now. Okay, you're getting there. You're starting to get there. Okay, universe, bring me a new residence now, right now, immediately, in this moment, now. And my universe went, good job, Maria, good job. That's the way to do it. Now hold that every day. And I'm like, what? They're like, every day, all day, every day. Yeah, right? I've streamed that through my physical experience. I was holding that intention for 5 years, and it wasn't manifesting. But when I started to get good and zested up and a little angry and a little verbose with my universe and started yelling at it and demanding it in, the minute I started demanding it in, guess what happened? 2 days later, my friend who tried to show me an apartment that was like this big, it was too small for me, I was coming from a house, called me and said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm on the road with my friend who is going to look at a house, and I'm just going to go look at her, because she called me that morning and said, hey, I'm going to look at a house. She had to move because her house was being sold, right? The house she was renting was being sold. I was like, yeah, I'll take a look with you. And as we're going, we said, maybe we should look together, because that would be cheaper and easier and more economical. Phone call comes in. My friend says, what are you doing? I'm on the road. We're going to look at a house. Wait, what? You're going to look at a house? Does that mean you're going to live together? I don't know. We only just talked about that. Oh, well, you know the house in the basement that I showed you? And I was like, yeah. She said, well, guess what? The tenant just called my friend, and she's moving out at the end of the month. So it'll be available November 1st. And I went, that's 2 weeks away. And my universe said, you wanted this. And I was like, holy crap. Okay, what do I do now? And they said, you take it. It's going to be at the back end of a court, and the numbers on the house are going to add up to 11, which is my mom's number for me from the other side. And so I'm like, okay. And I said, I really think we're going to live in this house that's going to be at the end of a court. So even if it's not this house that she's showing us, it will come up because my universe is saying it's going to be this. It's going to be at the back end of a court. It's going to add up to 11. And so in that transaction, we go to look at the house my friend found because she was actively looking, right? I look for nothing. I've never looked. I found every office that way. It just comes. And except manifesting a house, for some reason, a place to live was so much harder because I guess the office thing I looked at is if I don't have an office, I can't work. So that for me was more important, you know? So this just shows you where the alignment has to be, right? So here I am. With her, we look at this. I don't even get to the house that we're going to, and I'm like, this is not going to be the one. So she's like, well, how do you know? And I'm like, I just feel it. I feel it in my body, just like I showed you all how to do that today, right? You could feel it. When it doesn't feel right, your body will tell you. It will push it away. When it feels right, your body will bring it into you, and it will light up and make you feel good, right? So in that moment, we walk into this house that she found, and she looks up and she goes, oh, my God, look at this. It's got a cathedral ceiling, and look at this beautiful rattan banana blade fan. And I look and I go, yeah, but look at the rest of this house. It looks like a dump. I can't see clients here. And that was my point for moving so I could get rid of my office and work out of my house. And she was like, but the fan. I'm like, screw the fan. Look at the house. I'm like, I'm going to be doing the cooking. The kitchen is a freaking nightmare. Are you kidding me? This is my conversation with my best friend, right? So I said, let's just leave here and go see the next house. I feel like there's going to be something there for you. We leave, and I say to my friend, send me the address. She sends me the address. It's 2810, which is 11, and it's in a court. And when I get there, it's the back end of a court. And I was like, are you kidding me? Before I even walked into the house, I knew it was the house. The best part, I go up the steps, because there's only two small steps, go up the steps, open the door, and I look, and there's this beautiful cathedral ceiling, and what's at the top of the ceiling? The fan, the banana blade fan. And I'm like, yes, I'm home. Wait, it gets better. So I go into the house and I look around. This guy must have had an interior designer there. It's got colors. It's beautiful. It's amazing, right? And I'm like, yes, I could see clients here, and it's just amazing. And then I'm there. We signed the whole thing. 2 weeks later, 2 weeks later, I move, right? I had no time to pack anything. 2 weeks later, I'm out. The first week, I was so in chaos. I sat there going, I'm moving. I did nothing the first week. The second week, I had to bang it all out, right? Get into the house. I'm in the house for 2 weeks. Everything is great. I'm really excited. I'm not thinking about anything but how excited I am. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm creating some workshops, new ideas and stuff. And all of a sudden, this wave of energy hits me, right? And as this wave of energy comes up, I stop in my tracks and I go, oh my God, what have I done? How am I going to afford this? Oh my God, there's so much more money. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I started crying. I went hysterical into this complete meltdown, right? Sobbing, like I just lost my best friend in this complete chaotic meltdown. And I'm like letting it all out, just this, it was nasty. And all of a sudden, just as fast as it came on, it was over. I remember sitting there looking, going, okay, what just happened? Right? So this is another piece to this puzzle. So collective consciousness, we hear about that all the time, right? But we don't hear about the collective, the melting pot of victimhood mentality. Every time there's a tragedy on the earth, everybody goes into victimhood because I identify with it, even if it didn't happen with them, right? And so there's this energetic melting pot up there that is victimhood mentality. Well, that day, there was a really bad earthquake in another country. And I was able to tap into the collective consciousness in that moment to bring up the distortion of fear so that I could let go and clear my body of the fear of lack consciousness that I would not be able to manage this house financially. Does everybody see that? Mm-hmm. So I tapped into collective consciousness to bring that emotion up. Now, we do need to do that on occasion, but we also need to check our body when we do that and say, is this mine? Is this emotion really mine? Because it really wasn't, but what I was doing was clearing an old timeline. I was clearing the timeline in that moment that I had let go of with my ex-husband. I was clearing all the fear, all the emotions that I was holding on to. And so in that moment, I was letting all of that go. And that was why it needed to come up the way it did. And if I didn't do the work, and I wasn't consciously aware of myself, what might I have done?
Gone back.
I might, well, maybe gone back in that moment, but also I would have stayed in that mindset of fear. And not accepted, yes.
Yeah.
Not accepted that, oh, I just cleared something. How, look at me. Mm-hmm. I just cleared something. How wonderful for me, because I brought it up and it cleared. And in that moment that I cleared and I allowed myself to get out of my way, I cleared all that distortion of lack, right? So does that mean it goes away and it's easy in that moment? No, but we have to remember that in everything we do, especially when we're letting go of something, right? We're clearing a timeline. And in order for us to completely close that timeline, we need to close it out. We need to integrate it. We need to let it go. And we need to resolve it and heal it. Because if we don't do that, the timeline will collapse from under us. And that is another thing that we have to deal with. And we don't want to do that. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is really, really powerful. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have not ever had another thought of lack of money. I'm not going to say that to you because the other day my friend was like, we haven't checked the oil in about 2 months. And we went out there and we were under a quarter of a tank. And to fill it cost us $600, right? So that was $300. Then I have another bill coming due that's the final payment for like $800. And it's all hitting in 1 month. And all I keep saying is, thank you, universe, because I know abundance is definitely flowing. Because if you look at it in this way, if I can stay out of my way with my thought process, which is always the what that wants to come in.
Ego.
Right? The ego wants to go, see, we told you. It's not going to work. It can't work. You can't do this. I told you it's not going to work, right? And then we have to go, I'm not listening to you. I'm never listening to you. Because I know that it's aligned and that my universe supports me in all ways, right? So the last piece to this puzzle is to get that voice out of your head and to learn how to discern between your ego speaking to you and your higher self coming through. Does that make sense to everybody? Because the ego, when it comes through and it tells you something, it doesn't feel good in your body. It doesn't feel right. It's like you're ever driving a car, your car in the morning, and you're trying to get to work or wherever you're going, and then you get a flash in your head that you should take this other way. But then the voice comes on and goes, no, just stay on this, you'll be fine. And you're not fine, you hit an accident or something, right? Right? And then traffic stops and you're stuck and you're like, damn it, I should have taken the other route, right? That was your higher self, that was your team, the higher realms, trying to help you. Going like, hey, take this way because you're going to get stuck, take this way. And you're like, your ego comes in and goes, no, we got it, we got it, we got it. My voice is louder because she's known me her whole life, you see. She doesn't know who you are, but she's known me her whole life. So she'll listen to me. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah. And that's how it works, right? So what I want to say is that in everything you do, present moment awareness is so critically important. Because if you're aware of everything that you're thinking and everything that is facing you, you will handle it with grace and ease and always remain on your current timeline. Bless you. Always remaining on your current timeline. So discernment is very, very important when we're operating, especially in a place of abundance. And as you are being challenged by somebody coming forward to you, right, I want you to let go of judging the situation at hand, right? So when your mom says something to you, I want you to step back from yourself, right? Step back from human Brittany. See yourself as the ascended soul right behind your human self, looking at the picture from a third-party perspective. And I want you to go into the reality of what's taking place. And I want you to sit there and assess me for a second and go, wow, she's still giving me this difficult time because I'm still not done clearing lack. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom, soul. Thank you, soul, for giving me this lesson. I'm recognizing the lesson. I'm understanding it. Maybe we could cancel the contract and write a new soul agreement. Because agreements are flexible, right? So we're not going to have a contract again with each other, but instead we'll have an agreement. And that agreement can then be manipulated, negotiated as we go on and on, and you can then in that moment heal what's taking place with your mom. Because now that changes the dynamic of everything, and your higher self is now talking to her higher self going, okay, she's got this, the jig is up. And she understands what the game is here. So Brittany's going to do her work, so Mom, we have to change. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. This is not rocket science, it's just stuff we don't know. Right?
No, it does, because, like, not to, like, keep going on about myself, but just real quick, just to note on that, that the further more work that I do within my spiritual self, our dynamic of my mother and I's relationship, which has been extremely rocky for so many years, has gotten exponentially better.
Yes, because what you're doing is you're
even though she's not into this, doesn't understand the work
it doesn't matter. She didn't come in here to do that.
Yeah.
She came in here to support your need to grow into your spiritual self, but it doesn't mean she has to be spiritual to do that.
Yeah, she just supports and goes, okay, great.
Correct.
You know.
Correct. So one more step that you guys can all do, and this is a process that I love. So when you're laying down at night, okay, how are we on time?
It's about 5 to 12.
Okay. So when you guys are laying down at night, so much better. So much better. Stay in that position right there. You're in receiver mode now.
Okay.
Okay? I love it.
Don't close up on me.
So beautiful.
So when we are laying down at night, right, it's when we're in that in-between state where we're just falling asleep, but we're not kind of there yet, right? That we're in that unconscious, subconscious, superconsciousness state of being, right? And you'll notice that you're vacillating back and forth. So what I want you to do is, when you're laying down, I want you to connect into your higher realms, right? I'm going to have you all close your eyes again, because you're all looking at me and the ego is present. So let's do this from the higher self perspective, because then your higher self will know what to do when you lay down at night. All right, so what I want you to do is, I want you to envision yourself laying in your bed at night. And as you're laying in your bed, the first thing I want you to do is, I want you to ask your higher self to be present and your higher realms to be present. It's going to all be on this recording. Hopefully it comes out. And you're going to ask them to be present, right? And you're going to ask for the highest timeline potential available for you in that moment. So it will sound like, higher self, higher realms, align with me. I ask that I be allowed to be on the highest timeline that is most aligned with me right now, in this present moment. And then, if you choose to, you can call up a soul contract that you are having difficulty with and ask that individual to be present. So, in the case of a mom, Mom, I ask that your higher self be present and that we cancel our current soul contract and we create a new soul agreement that is beneficial to both of us. And I ask that this be done in sleep state. And as I travel through sleep state, I ask that I work out any other timelines that need to be worked out and integrated into this now moment, into this now timeline, so that I can be at my highest potential possible. And just breathe. And just take that in for a moment. And now bring your souls back into your bodies and come back into the room. How did that feel? Okay. So do you see the difference when we go into that aspect of the self and we play? Because that's really what we want to do, right? We want to play in that realm. Unless, of course, you need to shift something immediately and then you've got to demand it in. And that's okay too. Okay? So just like I explained to you before, if you feel like you need a change immediately, right? Something is not working, a job is not working suddenly, a relationship is not working suddenly, demand in a new reality. And that is something you're going to say as often as you feel. Whenever you feel frustrated, right? Because isn't that the perfect excuse then, in that moment, feeling frustrated? I demand a new reality. Bring me a new reality right now. I demand it in. Right now, universe. Right now. Right? And in doing that, if you do that, you feel the intensity running through your whole entire body as you more highly align yourself with your universe. And once you start tuning into your universe and you start working in your universe, which is inside of you, it will become like family. And then before you know it, you're working with your family because you are your higher self. Oh, let's see. Did I miss anything? So it's really about perspective. It's about staying present in your present moment awareness. And I think the most important thing that you could leave here with, right, is the awareness of self-judgment. So when we look at somebody on the street and maybe they're wearing something that's not something we would be wearing and we go, wow, that's a weird outfit, right? We're actually judging ourselves. Because in essence, we don't have the nerve to do that. That's really what we're saying. We don't have the balls to wear that crazy outfit, right? And what I see happening now with people is because there is such a perception with judgment, what I see people doing is, oh, damn, I just judged somebody bad. I just judged somebody. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that. Right? Don't we see that all the time? Or we do that. Oh, my God, I'm so bad. I judge. What does that mean? And so what I want you to do is I want you to actually lighten up on yourselves, and I want you to take it in this way. Every time you hold judgment of something or someone, you're actually giving yourself an opportunity to clear that within yourself. Right? So instead of judging them and going, oh my God, look at that crazy outfit, and then going, oh shit, I judged again, damn it. Right? I want you to go, yeah, that's right. I still hold that lack that wouldn't let me wear that crazy outfit. Good going, me. Because every time I judge and I'm aware of myself judging, I've just healed and integrated some of that distorted perception I hold of myself. Good job. That's what I want you to all do now. Okay, because I'm seeing a lot of people beating themselves up, and in beating yourself up, you're actually lowering your vibration and pushing yourself backwards instead of forwards, right? We still are operating from a human perspective, yes? So we can't all jump into our higher selves and just be up in the ethers, because it doesn't work that way, right? And there may be no time in our time where we do not have an ego, but we will diminish it to the best of our ability, and most of the time it will be in the corner with a cookie while we're operating in our higher alignments. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is really the work that we need to do in order to anchor in and bring in abundance. Does anybody have any questions?
Can you talk more about the intention reminder that you set?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Yes. Okay, so what I did was I was finding that, well, although I had good intention to hold my intention, right, like most of us, I wasn't doing it, okay? And so what I did was I went into my phone, and in the morning I always wake up and I have either a written intention, or I will set my intention through my thoughts for what I want to experience during the day. And then I set up reminders. So 11 a.m., because there is now 11:11 on my phone, but 11 a.m., which makes it feel like 11:11 to me. And you could set it for like 3:30 and just imagine it's 3:33, because then you'll have two threes. And then, 5:55, because I think that is on the phone. That's one of my intentions. And so what that is that's a reminder. You can set it for it to just go off at that time to remind you, oh, yes, it's time for me to anchor my intention. So that when it goes off, like when mine went off earlier, my intention, I looked at it and I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to have an extraordinary class. And that was the intention that I anchored in, that everybody was going to take away exactly what they needed. Okay, so then my next intention that comes up, you could set them as often as you want to help you remember. My next intention that comes up, I may just set the intention that may I be continue to be blessed with a magical day and expect a miracle, right? So the more we do this and open ourselves up to it, the more we anchor in that which we want to more highly align us to that vibration that we want to be on, right? Because in our day-to-day experience, like I hit the traffic this morning, that was not my intention, but it happened, right? And so I can't get mad at that because that was just the universe's way of slowing me down a little, saying, well, you're going to be there on time, but you won't be there early because they're still having the class. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. I needed to slow down so that I could be here just after the class ended, and I got here in perfect timing. So what I did in that moment was I put some music on, and my intention was to make myself happy because I had no choice, because what was taking place in the street was not orchestrated by me, right? So in those moments where we do this, what happens is you're retraining your mind to come out of the human experience and align with your higher self again. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I want you to do at first is to create something for your intention for the day. Every time I see my intention reminder, I'm going to remind myself to have a fantastic day. Then the next day, I'm going to remind myself to have a miracle. Then the next day, I'm going to remind myself to have whatever. Does that make sense to everybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is how we set our intention and raise our vibration, right? Because we're not in an environment where, you know, we play with fairies every day and there are unicorns crossing our paths. We don't operate in that realm yet, although we are headed there, right? But we're not there in our day-to-day experience, to be honest with you. So we have to create that dynamic for ourselves through streaming it and feeling it. Everything is feeling. As the earth is ascending and raising its consciousness, it's now depleted out. Third dimension does not exist on the earth anymore. So grounding is not an option anymore, right? We can't ground like we used to because it doesn't work anymore. And we are supposed to be in the higher realm, so feeling dizzy is going to be a common occurrence for us. So the more information we have about how to transact our day-to-day experiences, the greater we will be at being our higher self in our human body. And then we will be holding our spirituality, our consciousness, as embodiment. Does everybody understand that? Right? Because you can't say, well, I'm a conscious being. Consciousness requires embodiment. And in order to embody your consciousness, it's got to be something that becomes a natural state of being. And you run it in your body every day, all day long, streaming it, so that you become that which you desire. Does that make sense?
So we don't want to be grounded anymore?
No.
It's interesting. I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So my mom had bought a painting for me at one of these health expos. There was a booth, and this woman had an angel spirit guide. One woman, she did these paintings of spirit guides, and she said, I guess my mom was showing her pictures of all her children, and she said, this one pointed to me and said, this one isn't grounded. And she is like floating above her body and she's not grounded. And that's a dangerous place to be. And I'm thinking,
that's a very thorough, go ahead, finish.
And so my mom was like, freaked my mom out. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're a very spiritual family, always have been. Mm-hmm. And I've always been the one seeing spirits, you know, when I was a little girl and everything. She said, this one, she said, that's my youngest, Christina. She said she's not grounded. She's like above her body. But it's not a good thing. That's a bad place for her to be. Mm-hmm. So buy this painting and tell her to look at it every day and that'll make her grounded again.
It got your mom to buy the painting.
and I'm like, you know, and now I have this painting, like, kind of hanging in my house, and I don't really, like, feel any connection to it.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you know.
Exactly. So let me explain this to you, okay? So, and I'm having another class here in March, I think on the 9th, and I will be talking all about this, okay? So, if